on 107.1 FM and online at spacesound.com.
This is Space Sound Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to The New Normal, exploring life issues from a Christian perspective. For those of us for whom faith is important, we tend to see church as being part of our faith journey. Sometimes we feel that church can be stuck in the past and feels out of place in the 21st century. However, today we will hear about a brave new venture which tries to rectify the way that church is organised in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland, bringing a 21st century feel, and how we can enable those who do not share our faith to explore what following Jesus involves. Ruth is unable to join us today, but I do have Doug and Rory with me, who are major players in this unfolding project. I'll let them introduce themselves after our first track, which is Who Am I by Casting Crowns.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. That calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in Catch me when I'm falling. You
So I have got two folk with me today, Doug and Rory, and I'll just ask them to introduce themselves and tell us a bit about where they've come from to this project.
Well, I'm Doug McRoberts, and people who are old enough might have a memory of my voice appearing on BBC Highland way back in the late 70s and early 80s when I was a daily radio broadcaster there. But my main life has always been ministry and also a professional communications career. My last ministry appointment was an interesting one. It was in Malta as the Church of Scotland minister there, where I got deeply involved in a major refugee project. Since then, I've retired. I'm in Inverness. And when this project came about to unite, as it turns out, nine presbyteries into one, it just seemed to me that this was an ideal opportunity to bring and offer some of the skills and awareness that I had from abroad, from the international presbytery, and from other parts of my life to this project. It's an exciting time.
We are Sean Michel Rory McLaughlin, I guess she Clark now Claire the Uther Halna Misha. So I'm Rory McLeod, and I'm the Clark of Clare LME. Like Doug, I've been involved from the beginning. Previous to my current role as full-time clerk, I was a parish minister and a military chaplain for over 30 years. And I reached a point where I thought that I ought to offer myself for the role of clerk, both because of my involvement with the process, but also out of a concern for my younger colleagues, as I was aware that vocation of parish ministry was increasingly encumbered with all sorts of administrative tasks that were necessary, perhaps, arguably, but a distraction nevertheless from our core calling. So I wanted to use some of my experience to see if I could alleviate that burden and allow colleagues and others to apply themselves to gospel ministry without unnecessary distractions.
Church of Scotland, in its wisdom, made it possible for us, although we are not yet officially launched as a presbytery, to appoint Rory a couple of months ago. So he has been in post as a full-time presbytery clerk for the last couple of months, helping us to get all this ready. It's an illustration of the kind of forward thinking that is now going on within the Church of Scotland about how we really should be in the business of taking the gospel, the mission of Jesus Christ, to all parts, in our case, of the Highlands, Hebrides and Argyll. I'm not yet officially in any role at all. I'm currently the moderator designate, and if all goes well in 2 days' time, I'll become the first moderator of Clare LME. And that, to me, is one in the same time a humbling and a privileging thing.
Casting Crowns is a contemporary Christian rock band started in 1999 by youth pastor Mark Hall, who serves as the band's lead vocalist as part of a youth group in Daytona Beach, Florida, and their track was Who Am I? Doug and Rory continue to explore what their roles in the project involve, followed by the track And the Wind Was Low from Love Song. And Rory, your title is Clark, and you can imagine you sitting there sharpening your quill pen. So what does the role of Clark actually involve?
Yeah, good question. I think we're making it up as we go along. One of the principles that emerged in our discussion was on the one hand, the risk of such a huge entity as Clare LME, which covers over 40% of the Scottish landmass, the risk of it, of everywhere feeling somewhat remote from the centre of action. And so on the other hand, though, we wanted to play to the opportunity that this gives the whole of the Gaeltacht of acquiring a shared identity that celebrates the things that we have in common, as well as enabling us to do many more things that as smaller presbyteries we weren't able to do. So bringing it all together, as it were, the decision was made that as a presbytery we needed to run in such a way that everywhere felt like it was the focus of attention, that we really wanted to make Clare LME an experience where it felt like the local church is where it's at, which, as we all know, is the truth, that the church is universal, but it manifests itself locally. And so I was appointed to be a mobile clerk, and that's the bit that we're working out as we go along. What does it mean to be a mobile clerk? Well, my anticipation is that I'll spend a fair amount of my time with local churches Just listening to ministers and other office bearers and figuring out what they need to flourish, and so that our vision for the next 5 years is to transform ourselves into spirit-filled, self-sustaining local communities of worship, being salt and light and reaching out with the hope of the gospel.
This is Space Sound Radio.
In 1972, 50 years ago, a group of hippies who had recently come to faith in California released an album called Love Song, which coincided with the band's name. They wrote Christian lyrics to their songs, and their music was very different to anything else on the Christian music scene at the time. The track you've just listened to was And the Wind Was Low. Doug and Rory now tell us about how the project started, and the song One Day is brought to us by Kululam. Right. Okay. Thank you for the explanation of Clark. That's really helpful. And so, how did it actually come about, the project? I mean, somebody must have at some stage said, we've come up with this really good idea,
Well, maybe I can take that one initially. There's a national story and a local story. The national story is that in 2019, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland decided in its wisdom that there needed to be a new way of being church. A radical action plan was introduced and approved. And following that, a number of things began to happen. But the biggest single change was that presbyteries across the whole of the country, and there were over 40 of them, began to unite. So instead of having lots of smaller presbyteries and one or two big ones like Glasgow and Edinburgh, we began to get more uniformly sized big presbyteries. In some cases, three or four presbyteries would unite. There were some interesting developments. For example, at an early stage in the process, the island chain of Shetland decided to join with the Presbytery Centre in Aberdeen because of the natural ferry and air links. And at the same time, they also decided that instead of being four or five different charges or churches within Shetland, they'd become one parish with one Kirk session. It's a radical new way of being church. Orkney then joined into that as well. Now, that's none of what Clare LNE is about, but it is an illustration of how across the whole of Scotland, churches have been taking a radical new approach to this. The biggest one, geographically, is the one that Rory and I are now involved in setting up, because it's over 40% of Scotland and it covers the Highlands, the Hebrides and the Argyll. And what we did was we asked the nine presbyteries in that area to send a representative to what we call the transition team to start looking at how we could do this. We started this process just ahead of COVID lockdown, as it turned out. And so the direct result of that was that after one or two meetings, one I remember in Dornoch and one in Ullapool, all the rest of it then happened during lockdown, and it happened electronically, it happened through Zoom, it happened on the phone lines. And this is also the way in which the new presbytery is in practice going to have to work. Fairly early on in the process, Argyll, way down there in the southwest, was looking for a partner, looked at Glasgow, and they kind of mutually said, no, maybe not a natural fit. And they came to us and said, can we be part of this as well? So we've ended up with Highlands, Hebrides and Argyll. And then we started looking for a name. And maybe at that point, Rory should take over the explanation. The name, I believe, is a good one.
Yeah, well, it was felt that we needed to recognise the place of Gaelic language and culture. And there have been all sorts of mistakes and unfortunate turns of events in the last couple of hundred years regarding the relationship of Scotland and the Church of Scotland with Gaelic. And happily, the mutual feelings are much more positive now. And so it was felt that we ought to celebrate that in having a Gaelic name. But not everybody has Gaelic in the Highlands and Hebrides. So it needed to be a name that was accessible, that people could remember and could pronounce. And we also wanted it to express something of our aspiration as a presbytery. So we could have been Clare na Gaeltacht agus na Hélainn Siar, but everybody felt no, that was a step too far. So it was pointed out that back in the day, church regions were often referred to by wherever the bishop or the superintendent was located. And so in Scotland, we have the proud heritage of the Isle of Iona, from which St. Columba evangelized much of Scotland through the medium of Gaelic, as it turns out. And so we thought that that would be worth exploring. And happily, the name of Iona in Gaelic is very easy. It consists of one letter, E. So we adopted the name Clare, which is presbytery, Ellen, Island, E of Iona, so Clare LNE, and everybody felt that that fitted the bill. It was memorable, easy to say, and it has that missional connotation with Iona and with Columba.
You're listening to The New Normal. I'm your host, Ian Hall, and I'm talking to Doug and Rory about a new project to organise the church in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. In February 2018, 3,000 people, a mixture of Palestinians and Israelis, not knowing each other, came together in Haifa in northern Israel, singing in English, Arabic and Hebrew, and after less than 1 hour's practice, recorded the song. Doug and Rory now talk with us about the issues involved in getting the project off the ground. The track that follows is Forever by Kari Job. Well, thank you for that, Rory. I have to admit that before I started today, I went Google just to check the pronunciation. So hopefully I get it right. Okay, so as you were starting up, what sort of issues did you have to face?
Well, the first issue I would say was skepticism, because people understandably thought this was quite a bold move to go from 9 to 1, covering such a vast area. And of course, not just the scale, but the links and the weather and all sorts of reasons why trying to do business across the Highlands and Hebrides might be difficult. And so once we began to home in on when would be a realistic launch date, which was the 1st of January of this year, we felt that an important way of winning confidence would be to take advice from the other presbyteries to see what they thought would, looking back, would be their top tip for a successful launch. Okay. And in particular, the presbytery that Doug's already alluded to, the Northeast and the Northern Isles, recommended that we should be ready to stand up and hit the ground running from day one. So that really became our focus. So what we've done is we've already appointed the network of committees, standing committees that we shall need, and they're all meeting. They have been meeting for several weeks now, also arranging bank account, charity number, website. All of these have been arranged. And finally, to appoint some full-time staff, but that required negotiating a budget with the Assembly Trustees and the General Trustees. And so a lot of these things have had to work concurrently, but we've got our first full meeting happening next week. So far, the sky hasn't caved in, and nobody's proposed that we reverse the whole project. So we're setting out reasonably confident that we've at least achieved a necessary launch that we were aiming for. And there'll be many more challenges ahead, and Doug might have a few that he wants to mention, but for me, that was the initial challenge, just to get ready for our launch.
My challenge was initially in May of last year, May of 2023, when the transition team asked me to represent all 9 of the presbyteries in putting forward what we call an overture to the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland to create this new big presbytery. So I was the one who got the opportunity, the privilege of presenting this case to the General Assembly. And when you do that, you're in a court, because the General Assembly is technically a court of the church. The technical term is I and 8 of my colleagues, one from each of the uniting presbyteries, were standing at the bar making our case. But the thing that I still remember from that day in the middle of the General Assembly, it was one of the first items of business that that year's General Assembly dealt with, was the feeling of, I think you would have to say, love and goodwill across the entire room as we expressed our desire to work together towards this new idea of being Christ in the Highlands and Hebrides. There was a long ovation when the Assembly passed the Act creating Clare Eleni, and it was a real moment. It was one of these standout moments when you think we have moved forward here, something has changed, and a real feeling that this was part of being inspired to go forward. Now, that's the feeling we take into this year of our Lord 2024. As somebody who used to have a professional career in communications, I know a lot of this is only going to work if we get our communications right, our resourcing right. But the vision is there. And one of the good things is the way in which we set up these embryo committees to do all the normal work of a presbytery. They've come from all 9 of the uniting presbyteries, the members of these committees. There is goodwill there. There is work starting. There is initiative beginning to appear. And I think it's just wonderful the way in which this all starts to work together. Any alternative way of doing this would have involved 2 or 3 or or even four presbyteries. Any one of them would have been bigger than the existing presbyteries. They would all have carried the same problems, but none of them would have offered the central resource that this big uniting presbytery can offer. Rory is there full time. Amanda Anderson will be his number two. She'll be looking after our web, our communications, stuff like that. We have an advert out now for a full-time financial officer who will be able to take the burden that has been carried by so many volunteers in the church over the years. That's the kind of way in which we can begin to centrally resource the church professionally, properly, and with a direct sense of mission. And we're all hopeful that we can sort out budgets and income streams enough that we can then appoint a mission leader and others who will be able to direct other aspects of being presbytery. It's a new way of being the church. And yeah, it's exciting.
This is Space Sound Radio.
From being a worship leader in her church in Dallas, Texas, Kari Jo has become one of the leading singer-songwriters of the current Christian scene. The track you heard was titled Forever. We move on with the song Psalm 139 from Emily Smith, and Doug and Rory talk about how they see things moving forward. Thank you.
to tread the path I ought. How blessed I am, so bound with love, surrounded yet so free. In doubt or blessing, life or death, my Lord remains with me.
And I think that excitement reminds me of what my dad taught me. He was a gas engineer and ran a number of gas works as they were then. And he said, when you start something, when you move into a new job, you have to signpost very clearly what you want to do. But equally, you can't say, wait for a year before you do anything. You've got to get in on the job. And I'm delighted that you were able to get in on the job. I'm also thankful that you started on the 1st of January. Police Scotland, when they came together from 13 forces to one, started on the 1st of April, which has other connotations. So well done for January.
Well, as somebody who's been involved occasionally in aviation history, even writing about it from time to time, I have to tell you the RAF was also brought into being on the 1st of April in 1918, but it's still going strong.
Yes, okay. I won't say anything more about Police Scotland, but...
Well, the motto of the RAF is Per Ardua Ad Astra, through hard work to the stars.
Yep.
Now, that's actually a pretty good motto. That's pretty much where we are with Clare L&E. There's been an awful lot of hard work and inventive thinking and dedication gone into this preparation process, but this is positive. This is going forward.
Great. Okay. So you were talking initially about there being skepticism and perhaps a feeling that this was something that was imposed for convenient administration or whatever. So tell us more about how you see things moving forward.
Well, I think, that's a very reasonable point about the worry of top-down imposition. And again, I think that's where being a mobile clerk reassures me, because I'll spend a lot of my time with people on the front line, because what we really want to do is turn the whole situation on its head. So instead of a feeling that this is something that is being imposed from above, we want Clare L&E to feel like it's the kind of place where whatever central administration there is serving the local church, where the voice of the local church is what rings loudest. So I think if looking ahead, that one was to identify two principles governing our next 5 years. So that the first 6 months, I think, will really be about bedding in, about coordinating six different mission plans, about sorting out a portfolio of over 500, perhaps even as many as 700 buildings, bringing together 130 congregations. Once we've begun to get our heads around all of that, what we need to do is resolutely keep our focus on Jesus, because it's not about organization. It's not about running things. It's first and foremost about being witnesses of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Also, we need to wean ourselves off the way that we've operated in the past. The system that we inherit was there for a purpose, and it served us well for a long time, but we inhabit a different scenario today. We need to wean ourselves off a dependence on traditional parish ministers and buildings, many of which are no longer fit for purpose and in the wrong place. And so in order for that to happen, we need to unleash the gifting that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon all of its people. And ministers have a really important role as guides and mentors as we unleash this army of volunteers to keep open our local churches, and crucially to reverse the trajectory of decline that we've all been on for as long as I've been in ministry. And we need to turn that into growth in all dimensions. Spiritual growth, numerical growth, and we need to operate according to our resources, not to be dependent on handouts, not to be trying to sustain an unrealistic dream, as it were, but to take what we have and be resourceful with it, operating out of well-equipped spaces in the right places. That might be
a living room. Yes.
You might have heard that before. It might be a living room. It might be a community hall. or it might be a traditional church building. There isn't one size that fits all. It will be just according to available resources.
Emily Smith is one of Scotland's leading folk singers, but is also a person of faith, and on her track Psalm 139, she is able to give an up-to-date touch to part of the Bible's Old Testament. Our next track is Hill Climbing for Beginners from Water into Wine Band, followed by Doug and Rory saying more about how the project is currently taking shape.
There's a way in which it could actually end up working. If you imagine how meetings of this presbytery might actually go together, there's going to be four every year. They will all be hybrid because there has to be an online option in every single one of them. But our plan is that at least one will be mainly in person in a big place. Can't say where the first one will be yet. I can say it'll be in September. But until we've got the booking confirmed, I won't tell you exactly where it is. But that will bring together hundreds of people for a couple of days. But much more importantly, the regular meetings, we hope, are going to start to centre on natural hubs. As Rory's already referred to, well-equipped places in the right spaces in the right places. If there are churches, halls or whatever, which are well equipped to go online, to link to each other, then there should become a natural flow of people who can go to different centres around the whole of the Highlands, Hebrides and Argyll, linked together for our big meetings. That way we can do the business, we can hold the votes, we can do business by consensus, hopefully, rather than adversarially, and we can take the work of the presbytery forward. But from that core, you can then imagine mission districts, areas, hubs beginning to develop as people come together in these natural centres in places where they didn't used to go, because there will be no more presbytery borders stopping that happening. And people will begin to learn to work together in different and better and hopefully more enthusiastic ways. That's, if you like, the vision. And it sounds maybe at this stage a little bit tenuous, but there is practical experience elsewhere that it works, the North East and the Northern Isles, and indeed the Church of Scotland's International Presbytery, where when I was minister in Malta, I was a member for nearly 6 years, which only ever met twice a year, which did most of its business online, and which nevertheless managed to go forward in impressive ways in different places. So yeah, there is precedent, and we're hoping to build on that in this presbytery. One of our key components is the Presbytery of Argyll, one of the nine which is uniting. That itself is a combination of three presbyteries from several years ago, a coming together. There is expertise already there in how you can do this in a region, and we're blessed with that expertise, and we were blessed with it in our transition team. The standing orders that a presbytery has to run by, well, the guy that put that together for us did it with the benefit of the experience of having done it already in Argyll. And you look at the document and you find yourself nodding and saying, yeah, I can see how that'll work. And it's in that spirit we go forward.
That sounds great. And what I have come to understand is the feeling of excitement that we're taking a new path. It's not more of the same, but on a bigger scale, but it's the opportunity, working with the resources that overall you bring, to do church in a different way that is actually attractive to those who currently do not have faith, and to step inside a church where they have to work out what intermission means and various other church talk, but that we can do things to make it helpful for people to join.
The small station with the big sound. You're listening to Space Sound Radio.
Water Into Wine Band were a group of very talented musicians from Cambridge who combined great lyrics with a fresh sound that was very different from the tired music scene. The track you heard was the title track from their first album, Hill Climbing for Beginners. And now, as we move towards the end of the programme, I hope you've been encouraged by what Doug and Rory have shared with us. And thank you to them for both being prepared to take part in this programme. Don't forget the repeats on Tuesday 11th of Jan at 1500, Thursday the 13th at 1300, and for Night Owls, Saturday the 15th at 0200. We'll finish with the final part of my chat with Doug and Rory, and the track that follows, the finishing track, sees Doug in a different role as lead singer and guitarist in the Christian rock group White Light, from their album Parable. So farewell, keep safe, and I look forward to you tuning in on February the 4th for the next New Normal.
Right across the Highlands and Hebrides, we've also made the discovery during COVID lockdown that there are people out there who have become part of our church life that we really were not aware of, and we are now becoming aware of them online. If presbytery can address this, then we are taking a major step forward.
Another opening window of opportunity is through Gaelic, which was brought up earlier in the conversation. And because now its value to our national heritage is appreciated, and there's an enthusiasm for Gaelic which has burst out of the Gaeltacht and can be found in all of our major cities and in many places around the world. We see this not only as a heritage matter for which we have a certain responsibility, but it's also a missional opportunity. There are many people who are willing to engage with us to attend church services or are enjoying exploring the history of Christianity in Scotland because of the Gaelic connotation. And so it makes sense for the church to be ready to welcome people, to speak into their interests. And so that's why we put a significant emphasis this on building Gaelic into our profile and into our activity.
Thank you. Well, the time has flown amazingly. We've still got a few minutes left, but I would like to say thank you very much to both of you for sharing your thoughts and your processing this amazing project. And also, Doug, what you didn't say was some of your musical past. As a fellow musician, I've got to ask that question.
I was lead guitar and a singer in the Christian hard rock band White Light, which some people may well remember from the early 1970s. We issued a vinyl LP in 1974. Would you believe we're now in 2024? So this is our golden jubilee year. It came to the fore in 2016 when somebody somewhere included White Light's LP Parable as one of the world's rarest records. I kid you not. And so my brother, who was the bass player, and I both discovered that people were asking, did we have any original copies? And if so, would we be prepared to sell them for silly money? Long story short, it ended in a reissue of the LP by a modern record company. It's downloadable now as well and available on a CD. But those of us who were there at the time, those who remember White Light will remember that we had set ourselves up to be not a band that played in churches or to Christian audiences, but a band that was genuinely good enough to take on commercial rock venues and take the message of Christ out there. That was the whole ethos of the band. In 1972, we entered Melody Maker's National Folk Rock Contest, and we made the Scottish final. Unbelievably, we did. And our LP even briefly appeared in Radio Clyde's LP Top 10. I'm responsible for some of the songs on it, and if you've got the nerve to play one of the tracks, I would be absolutely delighted.
I'll certainly make sure that we do that in the programme. And at this point, just to say that as you move forward, I hope and pray that this may be a revitalization of the church in the Highlands. Thank you both. And now an extra, a snippet of Mighty Big God from White Light.
Don't you ask for his forgiveness or